Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 6 years ago, 6 years ago, last Monday, July 1st, is the first day that I started as the mission developer for Living Faith Church. Hard to believe, isn't it? 6 years ago, no one was here. No one was here. Now, for the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, they send you to Mission Developer School. It's about a day and a half. And pretty much what they tell you to do is logical. Get out there and meet the people in your community. So, that's what I did. I wanted to get to know my neighbors because I knew we were going to be starting a new congregation in Tradition. We moved into Tradition, into Bedford Park. We specifically, strategically bought where our house would be, not in a gated community, so people could freely and easily get to the house because we knew that we'd be doing Bible study first in the house. We were near the clubhouse so people could park at the clubhouse if they needed to. There was all, even our furniture we bought, so we had two love seats. We didn't get a three-seater couch because who likes to sit in the middle when people come over? I mean, we really thought of everything when we had done this. So I go out to meet the community leaders. So first thing I did was I visited all the other churches in the area and the synagogue and met all of the leaders in all of the other churches. Then my first day, I had an interview with, at that time it was Your Voice weekly newspaper, and now it's St. Lucie Voice. And she did an article about the new church that would be starting. God bless you. I went and visited all the store owners that were in Tradition Square and introduced myself. I joined the social committee. And then I...
knocked on doors.
Yes. And here's why I knocked on doors. You know, this is how churches used to be started. Right? So it would be like you would knock on doors, you would say whatever denomination at that time you were from, you would knock on doors, introduce yourself, and boom, people would come. Well, the form that they asked me to fill out said, how many doors did you knock on this month? Knock on doors? They didn't tell us to go out and knock on doors. So I was like, man, that's a major part that you would leave out, right, that you're supposed to do. Of course, little did I know, these forms were so old that no one was doing that anymore. But I said, I guess I'm supposed to knock on doors. Now, I live in Bedford Park in Tradition, so it's a non-gated community. It's easy to go out and knock on doors, right? So Carl and I created a brochure together, and I say and I because Carl is the master genius on the communication piece. I had my brochure, I had my notebook, and do you think I easily went out the door? No. Thank goodness for Carl, because he would come into the home office and say, excuse me, you need to be out today. And I would say, it's too hot, it's going to rain, you know, all those excuses, like any kid who doesn't want to do something is doing. So he literally pushed me out the door and said, God's got this. You're good. God's got this. I said, okay, God's got this. I said, let me start with my neighbors, because I kind of know them, right? So I ring the doorbell, and I keep forgetting that here in Florida, the doors open out. So as the door is opening out, I'm stepping back so I don't get hit by the door. And I introduce myself, and I talk about the new congregation. And then I ask if there's a particular faith tradition that they have, and I would hear what that faith tradition was. And then I was able to say, oh, that's wonderful. I either met your priest, I met your pastor, I met your rabbi. And if they said no, I would say, well, I'd like to invite you to a Bible study that we're starting. Now, I'm going to tell you, I thought I was prepared for negativity, and for the most part, I was prepared for negativity. This was 6 years ago, mind you. I was prepared for questions, but there was something that I wasn't prepared for. Now, There are two major, you know, two denominations that still continue to go out and knock on doors. And they go two by two, right? So I was going by myself at the time. So it's the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness. And they're very good at going door to door. One man tells a story about how there was a knock on his front door on a cold and rainy day. He opened the door and he saw two young men, either Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, that were standing there damp and shivering. And they asked if they could come inside. And he certainly didn't want them standing out there in the cold. They were freezing and they were shivering and they were soaked. So he said, okay, come on in. And he invited them to sit in two chairs that were in his living room. And the three of them were quiet for a while. And so this man asked, well, what happens now? And the older of the two boys said, we don't know. We've never gotten this far before. So do you know that I understood what they meant? You see, like I said, I was prepared for negativity. I was prepared for questions. I was really prepared for people not being home. Oh, I had a pen, and I wrote my name, you know, stop by to see you, you know, and popped it in the door. It was almost like, exactly, thank you. You're absolutely right. Even pastors have a tough time with this at times. Yeah, but I was not prepared to be invited inside. When the first invitation came to come inside, I stepped in, I was invited into the living room, and I was asked if I would like a cold drink of water. And I said, yes, that would be great. And what I found was that people weren't quiet because they invited me in. They wanted to talk. And I recognized that my role was to listen. And I listened. Most people shared stories of pain. Pain that had been bottled up inside of them for years. Pain that needed to be voiced. Pain that needed to be heard. Just in the sharing, there was healing. There was no yelling. There was anger, but not aimed at me, just at a situation. There was vulnerability, there was raw hurt, and there was raw honesty. I heard stories about the church, how the church had let them down in their time of need. And in my mind, I'm saying, check, yeah, I can identify with those feelings. But I didn't say anything. I listened. I heard stories about how the church was hypocritical. It didn't practice what Jesus called for. It was anti anything that wasn't like us, anti-gay, anti-women, anti-you name it. If you don't look and do everything that we say the way it should be done, if you don't fit the mold, you're not invited here. You're not welcome. I'm thinking myself, check. Yep. I can identify with those feelings. The only reason the church ever wants us to come to see them is because they're just looking for money. Check. I could identify with those feelings. The church is not living in the real world, the day to day. Doesn't understand what it means, what it's like to have kids, to have a family, to have a real job. That's not a real job. Check. I could identify with those feelings. I heard stories about doubt. Is there really a God? Check. Been there. I could identify with that story. I heard stories about rules. How do I know if I'm really going to heaven? Could identify with that. I heard stories of the vengeful, hateful God who we can never please. Yeah, I could identify with what was being said. A God who didn't answer my prayer. Yeah, I could identify with that. and those feelings. Do you know, on many occasions, Carl would send me a text and say, "Mayor, are you okay?" Because I had been out for 3 or 4 hours and had spent many of that time in maybe 2 homes. Because people needed to talk. I would text him back quickly, "I'm fine." Of course, do I ever think I'm a single female walking into someone's home? No, never even crossed my mind. Because I knew that there was pain, and that pain needed to come out. So I listened, and sometimes it was 2 or 3 hours. And at the end, there was no defensiveness. I just said, "The God I know is not the God you just talked about. The God I know loves you for exactly who you are. The God I know, the God who loves me, comes to me exactly as I am, is the God who couldn't stay away from us any longer and came down in the form of a child for us. Would you like to join us for Bible?" Oh, sorry. And then I would ask, "Would you like a prayer?" And sometimes they said yes, and sometimes they said no. And as I was leaving, and I got many thank yous, they just needed to get that off of how their chest and how they were feeling. I then turned and would say, "You are invited to come to Bible study if you would like." And I would leave. Sometimes, most times, you know what? Listening, sharing, and a simple invitation is all people need. Surveys show if you invite a friend to church, 50% of the time they will say yes. And the percentage goes up substantially with a second, third, and fourth invitation. But you're not inviting them to a building, to a place. You're inviting them to an experience God and the Holy Spirit is present. Anybody recognize this person? Garrison Keillor. Garrison Keillor wrote Lake Wobegon, and on public radio, he was the host of a popular program that was called Prairie Home Companion, which ran from 1974 to 2016, and it was about a fictional town called Lake Wobegon, which was located in Minnesota, yes. And it talked about, he got really excited when I said Minnesota, huh? There it was again, my goodness. And it talked about what life in rural, small-town America was like. Now, there were two churches in Lake Wobegon. Does anybody remember the first? It was a German immigrant-started church, Catholic church. Anybody know the name? Of course, this is all sarcasm and spoof, right? It was Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility. Keep in mind, I'm a former Roman Catholic, so. Now, the Norwegian and Swedish immigrants and descendants, they belong to the Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. So I want you to know that Garrison Keillor himself came from a very strict fundamentalist church that was all focused on legalism. Does anybody know the church that he belonged to? It was the Plymouth Brethren Church. And when he was a kid, he enjoyed going, but then he stopped going when he was older. Now, it was a normal question for people to come up to Garrison Keillor and ask him, "Do you go to church?" Because his entire show was based on the stuff that happens with the church people, right, in rural Minnesota. So the question was, "Do you go to church?" And his answer was, "No." And then they would ask him, "But why don't you go to church?" Well, he had that practiced. He would tell them exactly all the reasons why he didn't go to church, many of which I heard from folks. Then a friend of him said, "Well, why don't you come with us?" Exactly. That was his response. was like, why don't you come with us? I mean, see, he had all the stock answers because he knew what people were going to ask him, but no one ever asked him, why don't you come with us? And the next thing he said he knew, he said yes. A simple ask, a simple invitation from one friend to another. No door knocking, just a simple conversation. Why don't you come with us? You know, we accept invitations all the time. Look familiar? You're invited, right? You're invited. You're invited to a party. You're invited to a dinner celebration. You're invited to game night. You're invited. And we say yes to these things all the time. And don't we make invitations all the time? Would you like to come to trivia on Thursday nights here at the Lakeview Terrace Grill downstairs? It's so much fun and we can grab dinner together. Would you like to go to the movies on Tuesday? The matinee, it's $5. It's $5. And then we can go and get something to eat afterwards. Thursdays, Thirsty Thursdays at the ballpark. Would you like to go to see the Mets play? You know, the farm team Mets. But we love them. We can eat there. They also have like dollar dogs. I mean, it's wonderful. Would you like to go? But somehow, would you like to come to church on Sunday? Doesn't always come out. Sometimes it does. Would you like to come to church on Sunday? And then afterwards, if Pastor Marian keeps it under 35 minutes, we can go downstairs and watch the women play soccer and have lunch together. That's what Jesus is calling us to do today. We're called forth on this very day. We're called forth to call forth. We are invited to invite. This may be the most important invitation you will ever make in someone's life. I know it was for me. I stepped out. I left. Carl and I left the corporate world at 46. I went back to seminary and became a Lutheran pastor. The most important invitation that had ever been made to me. Would you like to come to church? And I had been raised and did Catholic school, etc. But it was asked at the moment that I needed it. It is the most important invitation you will ever make to everyone. Just ask, because you know that it was the most life-changing invitation that was ever made to you, whoever it is that did the inviting. It's the most life-changing invitation you ever accepted. So here's the question. Why wouldn't we ask? Why wouldn't we invite? Today, Jesus tells us, you, me, we are invited to invite. Amen.